Atma Namaste. On this episode, we have Christian Verde, where we speak about his pranic healing journey and how pranic healing has helped ground his life into work and service that he loves. Please stay to the very end. Thank you. Welcome to the Pranic Healing Podcast, the premier show where we combine the art and science of energy healing and spirituality, interviewing the brightest minds in the world of pranic healing. With your host, Dr. Jason Yuan.
Atma Namaste, everyone. Welcome to the Pranic Healing Podcast. On this episode, we have Christian Verde. Christian grew up in Massachusetts and learned about pranic healing in 2011 at the age of 20. He has traveled through the United States and has been taught by four master pranic healers over the past decade. His passion is to share his experience with others he's made, starting from teaching in the early years of his practice. He talks about wellness, spirituality, and pranic healing since 2013. He founded the Center for Pranic Healing in Boston and also co-founded the Atlanta Pranic Healing Center in 2014. He is a certified pranic healer and instructor, and he helps to heal others through his private practice in Massachusetts and throughout the United States. Christian is an avid swimmer, martial artist, and musician. He enjoys community building, movies, and sharing laughs. He teaches Master Chowa Koksui's pranic healing in Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Vermont, and currently guides meditation online for the public. He's very passionate about sharing the teachings of Master Chowa Koksui's pranic healing, meditation on Twin Hearts, and Arhatic Yoga. Please welcome Christian Verde.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Jason, for having me.
Yeah, I'm on Namaste, Christian. Thank you so much for joining us. I know we spoke a little bit earlier, a couple of weeks ago, at the Christmas party. I'm so happy to have you on the podcast, and I think you have a lot to share with the audience. So I know I read your bio, Christian, but you have a very interesting story on how you got it started with pranic healing. So I just wanted you to kind of share that with the audience yourself and, you know, let us know from your own perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. First, like, it was great to see you, Jason, as well at that Christmas party as well. That was nice to be there at the holiday party. When I started pranic healing, I was 20 years old. And I was dealing with anxiety, social anxiety, and dealing with, you know, a bit of depression in high school. So 16 years old, dealing with that kind of issue. And I started learning about energy in actually during that time. I learned about a form of Qigong that was called Dan Mu Do at the time. And the first thing they did was, you know, feel the energy between your hands. And that was really something that changed my perspective about how I connected with myself. So then that helped me get through that social anxiety, those issues with depression in high school. And then fast forward about 3 years later, I learned pranic healing, and I first took it in San Diego, California. I used to live on the West Coast, and I learned from, a seasoned instructor, Teresa Evans, and she, you know, really opened my eyes to, wow, the fact that I could help somebody with my hands. And I didn't even have to know what they were going through necessarily. So, and it was during that class that I felt, wow, like my hands can really do a lot. I didn't realize my hands were that powerful. So, and during that time, I actually found not only, wow, so I can help people in another way rather than just talking to them and working through their stuff, but now I have a system that I can use that can not only help others, but help myself. And at the time, I also was practicing the meditation on Twin Hearts. And it was in combination with both of those things that really helped me get out of my bubble, or like out of my own head, to, you know, be worried, over worried about what are people going to think about me if I do, you know, anything. That was just even one, like one step. If I walk wrong, they're going to think this. If I eat this way, you know, yeah. So that's kind of how I started.
Great. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, Christian. I think you bring up a great point how, you know, I think a lot, especially with anxiety and depression, it's a very prevalent type of, I wouldn't call it disease. I would call it, you know, as we know in pranic healing, it's more of an energetic condition in which, you know, the medical landscape has not had a good grasp of. And there's so many triggers, so many different ways that anxiety and depression can be caused by. And like you said so eloquently, just by being able to feel the energy and to scan with your hands, right, to know that, you know, there's something, right, a little bit off with our energetic field, but we have tools to kind of fix it and correct it. And like you said, you don't have to know exactly what's going on, you know, for yourself, but hopefully you do, but for others, right? And you can use your hands and, you know, certain simple techniques, you can kind of help alleviate, you know, most of the symptoms that people may be feeling at that given moment. So that's a really, really cool story how you started in California. Now, you know, you're doing really well, of course, in Massachusetts. And I think since I've known you that you've been in Massachusetts and you've been doing your thing and I think you're the most consistent person when it comes to meditation on Twin Hearts and doing that on a weekly basis. And I know you said that meditation on Twin Hearts really helped you. And for the audience, you know, what is meditation on Twin Hearts and how did it help you? How did it help you so much with what you were dealing at that time?
Yeah, so meditation on Twin Hearts is a meditation on loving kindness that uses the heart energy center or chakra and also the crown energy center or chakra. So it's by utilizing these two energy centers that we're actually able to even more... I'd say more efficiently bless the earth with loving kindness. And from these two points, right, then you're giving so much to the earth and you use the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. And then you go into this space of this, you know, space between where you think about the light and you think about the ohms, you chant the mantra in your mind. And then there's a space, right? There's this time where you can just be still and be aware and then receive because you've given so much. And that meditation is about 21 minutes long. And through that meditation, it was healing me, right? At the time when I first did it, I really didn't know what to experience. I've done meditation before and I've fallen asleep with other techniques. And this meditation, because it was more active, right? I had to focus on the earth in front of me. I had to focus on, be aware of my heart, be aware of my crown, these different places. I was focused, so I wasn't really wandering off as I usually did in other meditation techniques. And the unique thing about it is it's systematic, and the result for me, my very first meditation was my mind was quiet. And I always like to use the analogy of a lake where there's no ripples, right? My mind was as still as that lake with no ripples in it. And I hadn't experienced that ever before doing the meditation on Twin Hearts. So that's what became really special for me. I was like, okay, this is interesting. And I wanted to add that because I'm not necessarily a scientist or went to school for that kind of thing, but I was curious, can this happen again? Right. And then I went again the following week. Actually, it took a month for me to go back. And then I found the same result. So I was like, okay, there's something here. I like what I'm getting here.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, it's amazing with meditation on Twin Hearts because it's very simple, like you said, guided 21-minute meditation. But it's very active, too. It's not like you're sitting still and just thinking and quieting your mind. But it's an active meditation where, like you said, you receive and you give. It's a service meditation. And like we know in pranic healing, you have to inhale and you exhale. So most of the time, you know, when we do healings, we do it during or after, you know, our patients or clients have done meditation on Twin Hearts. And we find that the healing effects are much faster, much more effective after doing such a meditation. And the reason being is that, you know, their energy pathway is much more clear. You know, their thoughts are clear. So there's less ripples or disruptions, as you mentioned. So that's really amazing. And like you said, it's reproducible, right? You can do it one day and do it another day and you'll just reap the benefits. So that is definitely a staple meditation on, you know, in terms of our practice overall. So, and again, I wanted to kind of touch base on it. So, you know, you started out in California and now you're in Massachusetts. You're doing some really special things, balancing pranic healing and sort of your full-time career. So I wanted to touch upon that because a lot of people, you know, and I know Master Choa mentioned this too, you know, it's hard to just do just spirituality nowadays, right? You're living in the modern world. It's not like thousands of years ago. We just, you know, lie in a mountain and just meditate and walk around and, you know, pretend, you know, we don't have bills to pay, but that's not the reality now. But I just wanted to have the audience hear your story because it's a very interesting, you know, because you've touched upon different things, but the common theme along the way was pranic healing, was meditation on Twin Hearts, and was, you know, all the service that you've done. So tell us a little bit about how, you know, you transitioned through all those points with pranic healing.
Yeah, I'd be happy to share that. So when I first learned pranic healing back in 2021, I was working at Costco. I was working at that company and I was working there for probably, I was working part time. And, you know, I was making my, you know, whatever I was making at the time. And as I learned pranic healing, I also was like, oh, maybe I can earn some money with this as well. So not only doing service, right, giving free healings, free pranic healing sessions, but then also, wow, I can make extra money and that helps me feel more fulfilled, right? So that was at that time. And as I built more confidence and you know, I moved to Atlanta in 2014. And then I had another job at the YMCA, right? So working as a swim instructor, as a lifeguard, etc. And also, you know, then I changed to another job. So I've, in this whole time, I've had a job. I've had some sort of a job that helped me to have stability and to have a way to, you know, pay for my house, pay for the food that I need to eat, right? Taking care of myself. And as you said, Master Choa was all about that, and him being himself, being someone who was very wealthy, had several businesses, but also doing this work of spreading pranic healing and spreading meditation and other classes. And that's been so important. And during that time in Atlanta, I had the opportunity to work for a nonprofit that was also then, you know, serving people with, you know, getting them meals, right? I was working on getting those, you know, little, you know, a lot of, we hear about like HelloFresh these days, right? But they were doing it specifically for, you know, the people that wanted that service over there in Atlanta. So I was involved with that. And then after about 3 years over there, I then moved to Massachusetts because I felt, well, I'm from Boston. I was born here. And, you know, I think there needs to be more of a presence with pranic healing. So I moved over here in 2017. And since then, I have gone through Work Bar, which is a co-working space. And for a while, it was about 2 to 3 years that I spent solely focusing on pranic healing. How can I get it here? How can I get people to know about that? So I connected with yoga studios. I connected with business owners that, you know, can it work? Can pranic healing work here? Can I do meditation on Twin Hearts here? So I spent about 2 or 3 years building that base. And then the pandemic hit. And so we all went through a lot through the pandemic. And it was during that time that I found I work at FedEx, right? So just knowing that, you know, I was able to find a job there and I've turned it into a career. So, and in that case, like I want to go and move into human resources. I've become interested in that aspect of business and I'm sitting in the center for the Pranic Healing Boston Center. I'm in the space right now. So having that job, then having this work of pranic healing, I'm able to support myself physically and take care of my, right, physical needs, right, my food, my water, my home, and I'm able to take care of the space, all while having a purpose, which mine is to have more people know about this really powerful and simple healing system that anyone can do. And so it's been so nice to have both, because what I do at work, you know, I know that there's a purpose for this. Right? And the work that I do with pranic healing, there's a purpose for that as well. And yeah, we're not in the olden days or where we need to be.
Yeah, if only.
But, yeah, that would be nice, but we do have things to take care of.
Exactly. And that's I love that story because it really shows how, again, you were guided by, again, the purpose, right? We all have a purpose in life. We all have a sense of, you know, belonging, connection, community, and service that we want to do. And I love that common theme throughout, you know, all your different sort of checkpoints in your career paths. That was always the underlying principle. And I think that's what really helps us get by, right? At the end of the day, we have to be both spiritual and practical. And I find that, you know, that balance is sometimes a little bit harder for more, so to say, spiritual people. Because as we know, Christian, our energy centers tend to be more top heavy than bottom heavy, right? You know, business people, like you said, in, you know, especially in HR, it's a little bit more, you know, you have to have both, but it's a little bit more bottom grounded, right? Because you have to produce results. You have to manage people. You have to, you know, watch out for certain processes and things like that. So at the end of the day, I think it's all beautiful lessons that we have to learn and balance, both physically, emotionally, mentally, and as we know, energetically with our different energy centers. And so sort of moving on, Christian, I know that, you know, our Arhatic yoga is a big part of our practice in a day-to-day setting. You know, pranic healing is the healing arm, but our Arhatic yoga is, again, more of the daily spiritual practice that we try to, again, incorporate, whether it is doing, you know, spiritual practice, meditation, or, you know, you're at work and you're dealing with certain things, good or bad. But it has, again, that core underlying principles that guide us. So I just wanted to kind of touch upon Arhatic yoga, your experience in Arhatic yoga, and how that's benefited throughout your whole process and your journey right now.
I love Arhatic yoga.
Right. Yeah.
It is quite the system. And when I first got into, so like I, when I first started, after I took pranic healing, I was like, wow. What else is there? Give me more.
Right.
I wanted more. I really did. I was hungry. I was spiritually hungry. And so, I took a lot of the healing courses. I took a lot of the, you know, there's prosperity courses as well. But Arhatic yoga was just out of this world for me. And the way I got it was actually through a raffle. I won a scholarship to the class.
Wow.
In the Kriya Shakti workshop, which deals with how to, you know, manifest and materialize the not only prosperity, but the things that you want in your life. And I really wanted Arhatic yoga. So, and the funny thing with that is there were no more raffles to be given, right? That scholarship for Arhatic yoga, it was that was it. I was like, All right, well, I have to let it go. All right. I'm not going to get it this time. And all of a sudden, Master Ko is like, I'm going to give another one. And that, lo and behold, I win. So like that to me is truly miraculous.
Sorry to interrupt you. So there was no more left, but then Master Ko Master Ko is one of the master pranic healers.
Yes.
He decided to add another one into the mix. And then you got it. Wow. So,
yes.
So that's where we talk about in pranic healing energy and, you know, being karmically entitled, but so that's amazing. But continue. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. I mean, it's a truly amazing event. From there, I took the Arhatic yoga class, and I kid you not. I was experiencing tremendous change by practicing meditation on Twin Hearts, practicing pranic healing. I was seeing my development. I could feel it. And then I learned Arhatic yoga, and then I learned techniques to really purge and purify, like, my emotional feelings, how I'm thinking about myself or other people. And we start with loving kindness and non-injury. And it's amazing that by practicing that for 1 week, I thought I made a change in the year before. And then that week I made a whole other, like, I felt like a whole one other 180. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. Right. So just how I felt about myself went from here to here, like a huge jump just in that week. And then you extend that to it's a really truly is a way of life, right? It's practicing the techniques, but then as I've learned now, how do you act and behave with people? How do you talk to people? Are you feeling upset with them while you're talking to them? Okay, maybe you need to work on that, right? Or do you think about them in a certain way? And the whole thing about that is character development, right? So character development is a continuous process. And just like our Hatha Yoga, as I said, is a way of life, it truly is something you practice every day. And I mean, I'm going to be very honest here that I've had my times where in the beginning I was like, I'm practicing, I'm feeling great. And then I was going through turbulence. I was going through a lot of hard times. And then I just had to regulate. I needed to get healing. But to answer your question, it's something that I do. I consciously am practicing every day. How am I showing up? Am I prepared? Have I done? How do I feel about the situation coming up? And that actually ties in with the issues of anxiety in the past. So if before it would be, I'm worried, I'm freaking out, I'm not going because I can't handle it, to learning pranic healing. Wow, I feel better. I feel like more like myself. I'm not as stressed or worried. I can be with people and I can be social. And then after taking our Hatha Yoga, I was like, wow, okay, I can teach in front of a class. I'm not nervous. I feel good about how I'm speaking. And I'm not as worried about that because I know that I feel much more connected to who I am. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, are the benefits of Hatha Yoga. Yeah. It allows me to connect to myself in a much deeper way, right? People talk about the I am. People talk about the higher self, the higher soul. And that's just something that I've been able to connect with more. And that allows me to feel more comforted, right? If I need to take care of myself. But in that space, I can then also take care of other people more. And not just that, I can actually work more efficiently at work. I can prioritize. I can do one thing while thinking and processing what I need to do, not only next, but maybe even simultaneously working at the same time. So in that way, I can plan my day much better. I can execute it more efficiently. And like you said, because we live in that physical world and we need to get things done, right? HR, there's a lot of processes that need to be followed. Yep. Like all that from our Hatha Yoga allows me to be more proficient and efficient and also do it in a way that's kind, right? Not in a way that's just, I need it done and this is the deadline and that's it. Like no ifs, ands, or buts, no questions. No, I can, ask and, figure this out in a way where there's a conversation.
Have that balance.
And sometimes if it's like, all right, we have a deadline, I can use that as well. I can be very focused and say, all right, let's get this together. When's the deadline? Let's get it done. Yeah. Let's move forward.
That's, I think that the reason why I asked you to go on this podcast, Christian, is that I find that your story especially is such a great example of how not only pranic healing, but our Hatha Yoga has benefited anyone's life, an average person's life, even myself and for everyone out there. And I think that you mentioned really great things. Again, circling back to, again, that anxiety piece, which everyone has to a certain degree. But like you mentioned, we now don't feel helpless. We have the tools. It's not like we're stuck in our shell in our box anymore. But, we can process it. We have awareness of it. We can work on it. And as to your story, you've made vast improvements, right? I think you're doing more public speaking, I think, now than ever with all your meditation classes, introductions, and courses and teachings that you do. So, that's a complete turnaround, and it's so amazing, like you said, because our Hatha Yoga is, in essence, it boils down to character development that is a day-to-day, hour to hour, minute to minute, second to second, exactly. Literal process. And it's a spiritual system. I wouldn't say it's a religious system. It's a spiritual system that applies to any type of religion. And you can reap the benefits, no matter where you at or what you believe in. And it's that universal. And that's something that I cannot say about other, you know, spiritual practices or even energy healing, like pranic healing. It is, pranic healing is, again, a very universal system. It's like the foundation for all other energy works out there. So that's amazing. All right. And again, to kind of close, Christian, I know that we spoke about a lot of different things and your whole, you know, journey into pranic healing and our hatha yoga and now, you know, your full-time career at HR now. If there was one piece of advice you were to give to, you know, the audience members out there, knowing your journey and your experiences, what would that one piece of advice be?
That is a great question. You know, there's something I have been working on where it's spark your full potential, right? And I've been meditating that on that a little bit. And, you know, potentiality is, right, okay, there's something that's either sitting there, right? It has the potential to do something, to move forward, or to stay there, right? Mm-hmm. So to me, like, if you... Because I'm an example. I'm a prime example of this. If you have the desire to do something, just take one step. Is it that thought, you know, thinking kindly about someone, sharing good words, or I'm going to do service, right? I'm going to help somebody else. When you do that just once, be aware of how you're feeling, right? Or how you, you know, what changes within you. Maybe you smile, right? Maybe it makes you feel good. And the more you do that, that potentiality, right? Things that stay in motion tend to stay in motion. Mm. Things that stay still tend to stay still. So if you just take that first step, right? Mm. Whether that be pranic healing, whether that be acupuncture, you know, there's a lot of different ways to do this. So whatever that may be, if you take the first step and you find some kind of relief or, wow, purpose or something that helps you feel better, yeah, you know, keep taking that step. Yeah. Make your, you know, I like the phrase spark your full potential, because then really we are truly limitless, right? Mm-hmm. We are our own, we create our own ceiling, we create our own limits. And so if you just take that first step, then you'll take that next one and keep going. Mm-hmm. Just like I've experienced in my life, things can really flourish for you. So that would be my advice.
That's amazing. Thank you. I love that. Spark your fullest potential. And that definitely applies to me, and it hits home close to my heart, like you said, because, you know, taking that first step, right? Even for this podcast, you know, I didn't know if it would work out, but I'm in like with my sixth or seventh episode, and you know, it's like you said, it's that momentum. I've done a couple in the past, you know, there's been mistakes here and there, but, you know, we're just going to keep on moving forward, because that's the only direction that makes sense in terms of fulfilling that potential in all of us. And I think, like you said, everyone has so much greater potential than we actually think that we know we have. And it's through the practices of purification, especially in pranic healing and our hatha yoga, that we not only get to see or become aware of it, but actually fulfill it, actually live it, you know, actually be in present moment of it in our day-to-day lives, especially with what you're doing and through your examples and through your experiences. So thank you for that. All right. Well, Atmanaste, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Pranic Healing Podcast with Christian Verde. We had so much fun talking with Christian about his path and his journey in pranic healing and his career. And Christian, I'd love to have you back on a future episode as well to know how things are doing. I know that, you know, next time we will talk, you're going to be that much closer to your fullest potential. So we want to stay updated on that. Okay. And then, yes, we'll see everyone in the next episode. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Pranic Healing Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a review and supporting the podcast by sending a donation or becoming a member on our Patreon page. Your support goes a long way in allowing us to produce more high-quality episodes with great guests. We thank you and hope to see you in the next episode.